WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going to be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, welcome to the Independence Day version of Monday Night Talk. My name is Kevin Tachi. We got a great show lined up for you as we are live here in studio. I don't have Ben tonight. I have Ryan. Ryan is going to be my producer. Of course, he's looking for headphones right now, so he really can't talk all that much.
I could talk without headphones. I just like to hear myself talk. That's all.
Okay. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm great, Kevin. How are you?
It's been a very long time.
It has been, yeah. I haven't produced your show in a few months now. I'm happy to be back. You always have such a well-produced show, such great guests. You know, great guests starting off the show here for sure.
Dave and, Post, Dave,
yeah,
Zenith,
absolutely, yeah. So Plymouth, yeah, I'm pleased to be here.
Well, you have earned your check. Just saying nice things, you earned your check.
Thank you so much.
I'll make sure that Mr. Perry puts an extra R in his name to make sure it's a legal tender, so to speak.
That's what we're talking about.
And as Ryan says, we do have a great show lined up for you. Of course. Stealing a phrase from Christine James as she said it, warming up the bullpen. Dave DeCoste, he's actually here. He's on microphone. He's ready to go once we get back from traffic. Representative, welcome back to the program.
It's always good to be here, Kevin.
I don't have you on enough. I should probably have you on more.
Well, you're a busy man. There are a lot of people I know clamoring for your attention, so I'm glad to come in whenever you'd like.
Well, I definitely appreciate it. You're usually on a moment's notice. You are here. And
with a big stack of paper for you to keep.
But you know what, though? But see, that's the thing is you helped me to be a little bit more prepared than I normally would prepare, but I always am prepared.
You're always prepared.
I try to be prepared anyways. But so we're going to speak with the representative. We have a number of things that we're going to talk about, ongoing budget process. Yeah, it is July 2nd, and we still don't have. We basically have a stopgap budget in place right now.
It's an interim budget, and that should last us for a couple weeks.
Yeah, shoestring budget. We'll see how that goes. We'll talk with the representative, get his take on that. Also, we have Joe Tricelli. Remember Joe? Joe, I think he ran for Register of Probate. And that was last time we talked to Joe. Joe now, candidate for the 12th Plymouth District. So
that's right. Gone from Airman Tricelli to Lieutenant Tricelli.
My God.
So he went down. Did you know that?
I'm probably climbing the ladder.
I'm stealing his thunder. Yeah, but it's always good to see. And he's now a Air Force officer.
That's fantastic.
So we share something in common. So we both went from enlisted to officer.
And if I may, thank you very much for your service. And I'll make sure I thank Joe as well when Joe comes in. You have a chance. You know, somebody who has served in the military, he or she. You should always, it's just my opinion, thank them. Because you know what? It's because of them that we continue to observe the freedoms that we have. 7 o'clock, second hour. We have a great lineup as well. U.S. Senate candidate Beth Lindstrom. She'll be calling in, chiming in, a little bit of an update, kind of chatting a little bit about some of the things that she's doing out on the campaign trail, as well as author Doreen Lang. Hang on to your stars. We're going to talk a little bit about employee retention and how important it is to the very first moment you welcome that employee in. First 90 days can be crucial. I'm kind of giving away a little something here, but I had a chance to kind of look over some of her stuff. Very intriguing. Looking forward to the conversation with her about that. And then Skip Bedell. Do you know who Skip Bedell is?
I do not.
Ah, well, that's because you probably have good contractors. Skip Bedell is he's actually the host of Spike TV's Catch a Contractor. He's this hunky guy who hangs around with Adam Carolla And usually they get a call from a family because, well, somebody didn't live up to completing a project in their home. And so Skip is going to talk with us a little bit about curb appeal and how important it is. But that's all coming up in a few moments. We are putting our directional on and pulling over to the shoulder as we pull into the WATD Traffic Center, being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop, online at BrennanSmokeShopMA.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island, New Bedford. And joining us for a final time, at least this evening, Mr. George Brown. How's it going?
Well, Kevin, we're seeing a lighter than normal volume here this evening. The expressway southbound, you're on the brakes from Mass Ave down past South Bay, then Granite Avenue down to the split. Northbound is looking great, making your way right back into the city. Route 3 southbound slows down past Union Street, then it breaks free the rest of the way down along the South Shore. Not seeing any problems getting over the Sagamore Bridge, heading on or off Cape. Bourne Bridge right now is looking good, too, and Route 24 and 44 have all cleared out. For just $5 a day, you can become a sponsor with Compassion. Become a sponsor right now at compassion.com/radio. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm George Brown, the WATD Traffic Center.
Remember that summer it snowed in August?
The summer of 2018.
Yeah, then it snowed again in September.
Yeah, like a foot.
Then the blizzard in Halloween.
And then it snowed on Thanksgiving.
And then the blizzard on Christmas. Gotta love this New England weather. Whoa, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. This summer is just getting started, and there's plenty of time to enjoy this great New England weather of ours. So have a great summer from us at Brennan Smoke Shop.
Make the best of it.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Quick note, don't forget that any of the programs that you've heard, any of the guests that we've had, you can always check out the podcast site. Easy to go to WATD's website, the homepage, World Wide Web, 959WATD.com. Scroll down on the left-hand side, click on the Monday Night Talk banner, and voila. You'll have some of our most recent podcasts, and you get to check out some of the greatest hits as well. I think there's over 900 podcasts that are in there. I haven't taken any of them down. Probably just, you know, like a, it's like being a pack rat of podcasts. All the audio that I've, all the interviews that I've done at the ready. Ryan, were you going to say something? You know what? He's just going to let that one go. As we teased at the opening of the program, the first 3 minutes, State Representative.
Yes, sir.
Dave DeCoste is here representing the 5th Plymouth District. And well, you know, we're sitting here waiting for the budget. What do you know about the process right now? Where do things stand with the FY19 budget?
Well, not much beyond what was reported in the news. So if you listen to WJTD, you're at least as caught up as I am. There'll be a conference committee, and they're working. And, you know, they will work toward, I am confident, I'd bet a month's pay, they will very quickly go through and come to an agreement, and the House and Senate will have a bill ready for us to move. The good news is that there's plenty of money, and non-recurring fees and taxes, primarily from capital gains, have been tremendous. I don't know if you've been following it, but so much so that the rainy day fund is being replenished with hundreds of millions of dollars, and also two smaller funds that are dedicated towards the retirement safety for Minnesota state employees are also being plussed up a little bit. And that's near and dear to my heart because the state of some of the funding for the pensions could leaves a great deal to be desired.
I do find it interesting. The budget process is always interesting, and knowing that, especially here, if you're here on the local level and you attend town meetings or if you sit in budget hearings for whatever municipality it is, it's always interesting to hear, you know, the conversation that there isn't enough money, and what do we do? What do we do to generate revenue? How do we get more businesses on the tax roll, depending on where the community is located? And what the amenities are, whether they're just a bedroom community, and you know, it's 90 to 95% of that community is, you know, residential and not much commercial, or if it's a a community that's sitting near like a Route 3 or a Route 24 or Route 93. It's definitely interesting. So it's good to hear that the state's doing well with money. Let's just hope that they're going to be able to kind of give that money back to...
Doing well with money in the sense that a lot of it's coming in. Whether or not it's being spent wisely is another question.
Okay. I want to at least get that budget, that update on the budget. Do you have a chance to kind of tune into or see any of the protests that took place in downtown Boston over the weekend?
As regards immigration and so forth,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I saw it in the news, probably the same that you saw. I heard it on the radio.
So. All right. Well, let's from the greatest hits, this is one of the elected leaders who actually was there in attendance. This is U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren. If you will, Ryan, cut one, please.
President's deeply immoral actions have made obvious we need to rebuild our immigration system from top to bottom, starting by replacing ICE with something that reflects our morality.
That was the cut that I was able to find on the interweb. So that's not us, Ryan. That's the quality of the cut that we got. But that, of course, Elizabeth Warren. We also had Markey and also Joe Kennedy, Representative U.S. Rep. Kennedy, who was there. I think it was one quote that was, "This is not political," but yet there's three Democrats and isn't any Republicans anywhere. Give me your thoughts on the conversation that's ongoing in regards to immigration and even the conversation about possible sanctuary cities.
Right, the sanctuary cities is being phrased as the Safe Communities Act, and was actually passed. Elements of it were passed into the Senate portion of the budget. We're probably, I think most fair-minded people would say it doesn't belong, but it's there nonetheless, and that's one of the things that has to be resolved in the conference committee. My guess is it will probably be removed entirely when the vote comes along. You know, immigration is primarily a federal issue. We deal with it here. Mm. Occasionally, believe it or not, we do get calls regarding immigration problems, which God bless former Representative Cantwell. He now works for Senator Markey. So mm-hmm. Now we have somebody to call when there's an immigration problem, you know, a minor one that we need to. I kidded him about it, but it's great to have him up there. On the larger scale regarding illegal immigration, I can just go from what Senator Warren referenced, the personnel who worked with ICE. I sat down recently with Senator Fatman and representative, both Democrats and Republicans, in a forum that was put together by Jessica Vaughn, who has a local immigration group. She'd be a fantastic guest, by the way, and I'm sure she'd be great to come on. But the bottom line is, if you listen to the ICE authorities, we are not getting the kind of cooperation in many cases from some cities in the Commonwealth, and as a result, murderers are being let go free. Child rapists, child murderers, drug dealers, they are all being turned out back on the community. These are people who should be, you know, detained by ICE and sent back to their countries of origin. So the way I view that is simply the Safe Community Act is going to get in the way of our local communities just working and doing the work that they normally would be doing, helping maintain and get bad people off the streets. You know, it really comes down to this. Are we more or less safe when we have a drug dealer off the streets and back to his home country? When a murderer is taken off the streets and back to his home country? A rapist is taken off the streets and back to his home country? That's what we're dealing with. And in my opinion, it's always good to move those people and cooperate with ICE and get them back to the countries of their origin.
See, my concern is making sure that it seems that this is so much party-driven, depending if it's a D or an R, and, you know, nobody wants to do anything. Nobody wants to make the first step to at least put something in the pipeline and reform it and tweak it in regards to immigration reform, what to do if there is an individual. I mean, you know, the protests this weekend were primarily about families being separated, where... You know, the mother and father are kind of sent back, you know, across the border, but yet the children were being retained until the president signed the executive order saying, oh, no, we won't separate them. But
which was a policy under the Obama administration as well.
And that's the thing that kind of, I'm not somebody who subscribes to either party. I think, you know, the biggest problem we have is people are really locked into one party or the other, and they don't want to kind of see what's right and wrong. It's just a matter of whatever the virtue of the party is, that's what you kind of you got to go with. You're right. This is something that did take place under a president, but we didn't have all these protests in March, and it wasn't all this. But because we have somebody who is very boisterous, somebody who as a commander in chief who loves to share his opinion on social media, it's kind of stirred the pot, and that's why we have this big problem, because people are like, this. I think if the Trump administration or our president, kind of use a little diplomacy, I personally think that maybe we could find a middle ground. But it's right now it's the administration, and that's, again, I don't subscribe to either, but I think something has to be done, and it has to be something that's not so much where it's one party or the other wants to be the one who says, I'm the one who crafted this. If everybody can get together and find a way to make it, I equate it to immigration, somebody who wants to come in the country. It's like going to a movie theater. You want to go to a movie theater, you got to go. You want to go in, you want to see a movie. There's a process in order to be able to go in and see the movie. Of course, you pay the $72 to get popcorn and the soda, and then you go in and you sit down for 2 hours. But if you don't, normally they kick you out of the theater. And I think it's the same way. If you're somebody who wants to be a citizen of this country, you find a proper way to do it, as my great-grandparents did and many other peoples did. There was a process in which you did it. You followed the process. And I think that's where a lot of the outrage is. But some folks are like, well, they want to be here. And I identify with that. Not to go off on a tangent. I apologize. But I know it was something you wanted to touch upon in regards to sanctuary cities and the concern with it, where if somebody's here illegally, that we should provide safe harbor.
Well, I guess,
and that's concerning.
What it boils down to is whether or not we're going to be a country with borders or not, and if we're going to enforce those rules. Right now, again, this is a federal issue, and it touches a little bit on the state because there's about a cost, and it's debatable. Mm. But certainly, in terms of education and health care, incarceration, there's a great deal of costs associated with taking care of populations, many of whom don't belong here. And we're either going to be a country that has borders and enforces those borders, I believe there are some people who, despite what they say, want us to have open borders, and anyone can show up. And there's a huge difference between maybe what your grandparents and some of my ancestors did. I guess ultimately all of the Western Hemisphere was settled by immigrants.
Sure. It is a nation of immigrants.
It's a hemisphere of immigrants. We all came. But the problem is that when they came, and I'm sure your grandparents had this attitude, there was no welfare. There was no state risk support.
No, they had to work for their keep.
And they worked for their keep, and they would have been ashamed to collect. Mm. Anything from the state, and that's no longer the case.
Well, you and I need to budget more time for you to be able to come in here and talk about an issue like that. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about a couple of other things. I know you're somebody who, from the moment you ran for state representative, one of the things that was your hallmark issue was affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And you sent me some information today in regards to a housing bill. A bill that is in the works. Could you give me the details on this in regards to affordable housing and how this could be a detriment down the road?
Well, there are a lot of good components to the housing choice bill.
But
one of the problems with it, and probably the primary problem, is that it basically mandates that zoning changes, which typically are a supermajority, be brought down to 50% plus one. And this is not, even with many of the people who were supposedly familiar with this, when you spoke to them, they were not aware that this was not something that was local option. Mm. That we were mandating it for every community in the state. Zoning changes can have severe implications for housing values. And they should not be made lightly. And if you talk to most people and any of the three planning boards, that I deal with, they are not at all keen on seeing these type of changes be implemented. Otherwise, there are some things that will hopefully help along multifamily housing and in-law apartments. And I think, frankly, where I am, in-law apartments are probably a good idea that maybe we can explore making them a little bit easier to establish in homes as people age. But still, you know, the plan was that if you went back 20 years, the plan was that people would grow older and leave their homes.
Mm.
That's not happening. People want to grow older and stay in their homes. But in some cases, you have younger families, the same family that wants to move in but make a smaller apartment for grandma or grandpa. And I think that that is something that we could do it a bit better in terms of facilitating those type of changes.
Now, I see information in here in regards to, you know, I know there's one of your communities, Rockland, is mm-hmm. is big on smart growth.
Right.
And there's some information here in regards to changing lingo, whether it's from word from properties to buildings. I mean, is that anything that any of concern or
none of that has?
I mean, what's your major concern with this
the
legislation?
The zoning change. Everything else is I haven't had much in terms. And again, we've disseminated this far and wide, and statewide the concerns. And by the way, this is not a Democrat, Republican, or a liberal conservative issue. This is right across the spectrum. I have one correspondent who is much more liberal than I am, and I can correspond with her regularly from Natick, and she is was on the planning board and served in town government, and she is actually my primary point of contact because she looks over these things with a microscope almost. Mm. She knows the. And she has a lot of interesting insights about what could happen. And she's not alone. There are probably scores, you know, at hundreds of people. And again, it's a type of law. The Senate and the House are looking at it, and they're putting it together in a conference committee. The Senate, as they usually do, have added a few things that make things a little more interesting. And whether they're going to come to an agreement, we'll see.
Okay. Something else that you, when you and I were chatting about having you come on, talk to me a little bit about the BRAVE Act.
The BRAVE Act. Because I have it right in front of me. This is the Veterans Benefits Rights Appreciation Validation Enforcement Act, which we passed, and it basically is, some phrase. Sometimes it's Weed Whacker Act. It fixes a lot of little things.
Clean stuff up.
Clean stuff up. There you are. And it does everything from... And I've got it right in front of me. So it basically allows, the residence requirement for veterans and their spouses for real estate tax exemptions. Now 5 years, we're going to move it down to 2 years. One of the things, and it's been kind of been crazy, we have somebody that's a combat medic. They can be, he or she, that can be actively medic, go through a great deal of training, and yet when they come back now, they have to go, if they want to become an EMT, they get absolutely no credit for that. We fixed that in this bill. In other words, corresponding, they will get credit for a lot of the corresponding military training that they've been through. And as I understand it, in some branches of the service now actually train people as EMTs as part of the program of instruction to become combat medic. Combat medic can be quite involved depending on what level you are. If you're a combat medic with the in a special forces team, that's an 18-month class, all right, every day within the service, and so it's pretty intense. There's a little one that I never thought I would have seen, but it allows the municipalities to designate a spot for veteran parking at their city or town hall. And during normal business hours. So I guess in addition to everything else, you'll have veterans parking, which I'll never use because I typically pick the father's spot because I need the walk.
as do I. So is this going to be standalone? Is this something that's going to be...
What we're doing is we're reconciling some minor differences on between the House bill and the Senate bill.
Okay.
So this is something, as you probably safely bet your next week's pay, that the governor will sign in some form or fashion this bill. And it'll probably be resolved fairly quickly.
If folks want to find out more, I know you're back out on the campaign trail. If folks want to find out more about you, how can they do that?
CitizensForDaCoast.com is our website. You can call the campaign office. Is not my... So if you have constituent questions, you can dial 617- 722-2430. It's extension 8. That's right on our website. If you have personal campaign questions for me, that's 617-519-7403.
And I want to kind of throw something out there. Again, one of those things is we're waiting for the program. We're waiting for the news to finish out. Dave's like, you know what would be a good idea? Maybe you could have like a little segment with some of the South Shore reps' aides. Have them come in and have them kind of talk about some of the stuff that they have to do to kind of make sure that their aides up to snuff, or maybe some of the quirkiness of some of the aides.
Yeah, I'm regretting, I'm regretting making this recommendation already.
Are you really? Why is that?
Ask about the representative quirks.
That could be interesting.
My aide is terrific, as are, you know, the all of the aides I deal with locally, with Representative Machino's aide and Josh Cutler's aide, Jeff Deal's aide.
Yep.
They all do, Matt Muratura's aides, they all do great work, and they all work as a team. And
it's kind of important.
You know, it's really important, and it's good to deal with all of them. It probably would make an interesting program.
Representative, I thank you very much for coming in. And again, we'll have a lot more time if we can really dig into sanctuary cities.
There you go.
Next time you're here in the next couple of months.
You're followed by another great candidate, Joe Tricelli.
Right, lieutenant now, right?
Lieutenant. There you go.
So we'll have Joe Tricelli in just a moment. You're listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, Chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options, like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Coming to you live from Broadcast House here at 95.9 WATD. Our next guest, a gentleman who he's been here before. I want to say he was recently did something with the news department. I know they did a little something with you. We thought we'd have you coming as well. Serve a different demographic of audience, folks who are on their way home, maybe on their way to the Cape, depending on if they got off a little early. We get a lieutenant. He's Mr. Joe Tricelli, state representative candidate for the 12th Plymouth District. Joe, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Kevin, it is a pleasure and an honor to be back on the air with you. I enjoy listening to your shows, and you've done a great job over the years, and I'm excited about this. This is a great opportunity, and having the experience I have, I'm looking forward to bringing that experience up to the legislative branch.
For the folks who don't know, don't remember your race when you ran for probate, Plymouth County Register of Probate, tell folks a little bit about yourself, if you will.
Sure. So, start off, I'm a father of three boys. My wife, Lee.
God bless you.
And I reside down in West Plymouth. Thank you.
Three boys. Oh, my God. It's a task.
Oh, they're fantastic. 3, 7, and 9. You know, they're growing up quick. And they're one of the best parts is that they're involved in everything. And my wife and I are both involved in town politics in Plymouth. My wife is on the school committee there, and I serve as a town meeting representative. I've been in the Air Force now 18 years. I've gone overseas and now serve as a second lieutenant, recently commissioned after 16 years. I made the jump from E to O and had the opportunity to join Joint Force Headquarters as one of the public affairs officers up there. And I'm really excited about that opportunity. It's been an opportunity to work more in what I've been doing as of recently. I've had the opportunity over the last 3 years to work under the Baker administration for the Department of Veterans Services, where I acted as their legislative director and communications director, handling all of our outreach and legislative efforts. And then prior to that, I had worked for the Plymouth County Sheriff's Department, where I worked as a reintegration advocate. And that was truly an eye-opening experience, having the opportunity to work on the opioid epidemic before it was even recognized. And so I'm keenly aware of the challenges we face, and I've had to try and work through these challenges. I commend the administration on the work they've done to expand opportunities, because it was so difficult to get people into treatment and they'd become disenfranchised, and it just continued to foster that epidemic.
Mm. So why run for state representative? Sounds like you're really doing good work for the Baker administration. Why immerse yourself into local politics in this you know, venture?
So public service is something that I've taken very seriously over my life. Going right back to the military, I got involved early on, right out of high school, got into the military, and you know, making the jump from the administration and the executive branch to the legislative branch doesn't mean that I don't support the governor. It means that I get to support him in a different way. And now I get to work on a number of different issues. And I get to work on things that are important, like economic development for our communities. I get to work on education. I get to work on things that are important to me, like the veterans issues, as well as really taking an approach to this opioid epidemic and bringing this experience. And coming across as a Republican candidate, it helps to set that balance up on Beacon Hill, and it brings me into a position where I can be part of that voice. I have a number of outstanding relationships on both sides of the aisle, and I look forward to working with both our reps and senators from both the Republicans and Democrats.
What do you feel of some of the issues? I think you probably hit the nail on the head with one of them in regards to the opioid crisis that we're dealing with right now. But what are some of the other issues, whether it's something that you've done your homework and that you've, you know, got yourself up to speed and getting launching the campaign, or you have, you know, somebody come up to you in one of the communities in the district saying, hey, this is what I got an issue with, and you, as you're out there more and more, you hear it more and more. What are some of the issues you're hearing?
So the opioid epidemic is obviously first and foremost, yep, in almost every door that I've knocked on, that has been a key issue. That has been something that, as soon as we start talking about it, it stems a whole new, broader conversation. Economic development. You know, the 12th Plymouth is not like Boston. It's not like Worcester. Mm. It's made up of businesses on Main Street, people who reside in the communities, who choose to do business in the communities. And it's important that we support those small businesses and make sure that they can continue to grow and that they have the ability to, you know, to bring in more business, but also be able to hire as they need to. And, you know, one of the challenges that they face is that there's been a number of regulations that have come out that have seemingly penalized small businesses, and they feel, you know, that this is a challenge for them. On top of that, an issue that's near and dear to my heart that I'm going to take up the cause for is this educational foundation bill that made it through the Senate unanimously and has stalled at House leadership's door in the House. It's, you know, it's an...
For folks who don't know, what is that educational foundation bill? What does it deal with?
So that's dealing with your public education systems and the Chapter 70 funding that goes into it. And, you know, without doing the deep delve into it and boring everyone
asleep. Is it like formula-based?
It is formula-based, but it hasn't been reviewed in over 25 years. And some of the mechanisms that are really important in that bill specifically is that it would require a 5-year review of it from the legislative perspective so that we don't get this 25-year lag. The education system has completely changed over 25 years. You know, we look at at the way education is being broadcast, as well as how we look at some of these unfunded mandates. And this Chapter 70 funding and this bill could be the catalyst to being able to address a number of these issues. And I look forward to taking up that opportunity. If the House doesn't pass it this time around, that would be one of the first key items that I would be working on, and it would be a personal personal mission to work on that bill, because it needs to be adjusted. It's important. We have our school systems have completely evolved, and we need to take a look at all the funding that goes into it, and including the funding that goes into technical studies. And this is another issue that comes up, and we start talking when we talk about economic development.
Go ahead, Joe. Don't let me stop you.
So when we talk about economic development, I've sat down with a number of employers, whether it be at the South Shore Chamber or with the Plymouth Chamber, and we've talked about some of the issues to hiring. And what they're finding is that we bring up these issues like paying for public education, for higher education, and they're like, that's not the answer. We need to hire people now. We need people that are coming out from the robotics programs, from specialized programs, that they're getting a certificate.
Trade schools, maybe?
Different trade schools.
Yeah.
And this is something that, the trade schools aren't the trade schools that you and I are familiar with, that we grew up with.
So much different.
To look at Plymouth, for instance, and I've had the opportunity to see some of the graduating classes and some of the things they've come out with. Certificates in nursing, certificates in cosmetology, plumbing, electricians, carpentry, HVAC, these are things that you would have had to go to higher education. Right. Now, I agree that not everyone wants to or needs to go to college. But if we can get to them at an earlier age and provide those technical studies, not only are we helping them move forward, but we're helping these companies be able to hire people and get people working again, or get people working at these lower-end jobs so that they can build their experience. And then I've talked to these employers, and the employers have come back and said, once they've spent a few years here and really are showing some forward progress, we would be glad to help send them to college and pay for that, because they see it as an investment. They see it as an opportunity to build their workforce and grow, the people who really want to work and do these jobs. And it allows them to be able to grow up a little bit and decide exactly what they want to do. Not everyone knows exactly what they want to do coming out of high school. But having that opportunity to go into the workforce, they can decide, hey, is this right for me? I think that's important.
Okay, we're speaking with Joe Tricelli, who is a candidate for state representative, a Republican.
Yes.
For state rep. Of course, the primary is September 4th. It's very early. I got to ask you a selfish question. And the selfish question is that earlier this year, the predecessor to the individual who was in that seat, one of the fights that he took on towards the tail end of his career as a state representative, Tom Calter, was Silver Lake and the issues with water and the city of Brockton and making sure that Brockton, of course, utilizes Silver Lake, but it's, of course, Silver Lake is located in Kingston, Plimpton, Halifax area, and there's a lot of concerns. Water is one of those things that is needed to stimulate economic development, and it's also something that's also used for recreation. And there's been concerns that the way the water, not only Silver Lake but East Westman Ponset Ponds, have been managed by the city of Brockton have caused some issues. And now I don't know we don't know where things stand now, because Tom has kind of stepped away. He was actually pushing forward with some legislation in regards to kind of, Brockton by rights through legislation back, in the early 19th century, were able to get control of Silver Lake and use it as a primary source, not only for drinking, but also for, if you had a fire, heaven forbid, you would need, a resource, and that's what the legislation gave. Where do you stand on something like a fight, knowing that your district is where Silver Lake is, and that there may be concerns from residents in the area as to what's happening to that resource?
Sure. I think that's a very, very important issue to address, and I think as the chief advocate for the 12th Plymouth, I would more than gladly take up the charge on behalf of my district, and I would go to the community, and I would look to be able to reach across the aisle and work with my counterparts that represent Brockton and say, hey, listen, we need to address this. And I would look at the legislation that my predecessor had been pushing forward, and you know, I would probably put my own touches to it, and I would review it. And it, you know, I think one of the things that I bring to the table is when I look at these pieces of legislation, I think I look at the second and third order effects of these. So as I go through that piece of legislation, I'd be looking to see how is this going to impact us long term, and how is it going to impact Brockton, and how do we get away with this as a win-win so that my district gets what they need, but we can also work with the outside communities that rely on that resource. So I think that's a very, very important issue, and I look forward to working on it.
We got a couple of minutes left before we say goodbye to the first hour of Monday Night Talk. Is there something I haven't asked you in regards to issues or you being out on the campaign trail, you kind of feel is important? Please sharing with the listeners who are tuned in at the moment.
Well, I think one of the most important things is that people are... This is a very different environment than in 2010 when I first ran. In 2010, people were involved, but it wasn't the same atmosphere. Now, as I go door to door, people are asking questions. They really want to know where you stand on the issues and how and what are you going to do? And it's become a campaign that could have been run on sound bites to a campaign that has to be focused on solutions. And it has to be that we work on any, you know, I don't claim to know every piece of legislation that has been filed, but I am more than happy to read the piece of legislation and work it backwards and find out what the solutions are and what the intent of the bill is, and I would be able to work across the aisle as well as work with my own party to develop common sense solutions. On the back end of it, I'm not afraid to pump the brakes. You know, I know that up there there's a supermajority of Democrats, and we're more than 20 bodies away from being able to sustain a veto. If one thing that I've learned and taken away from working for this administration, it's the ability to be able to work with everyone, to be able to understand what the issue is fully, and then be able to have an open discussion. I don't have to be a brick wall up there. I don't have to be, you know, honest.
The built-in filibuster.
Right. I have to be myself. I have to be someone who represents my community, and I have to look at the six communities that are made up of the 12th Plymouth District, and every decision that I make has to be able to bring home the best solution for that district. And I look forward to trying to bring back local aid dollars and work on issues and make sure that our police and fire are taken care of and have the resources they need. I look forward to working through these educational issues that we're faced with, whether it be unfunded mandates or addressing the formula that makes up Chapter 70 and really getting into the weeds. I really look forward to this.
Have you sharpened your skills? Because in just a little less than 2 weeks, you and your opponent are going to be in this room, and the Dems, the Dems who are running, are going to be in. Are you looking forward to this political
forum? I'm excited. I got the call this morning. We were talking about it today, and you know, I really have. It's been a couple of years since I've been in the room and had Christine's bell go off.
Yes. So you should practice. Get a bell and practice at home and make sure this way you don't hear the ding. You do not want the Anthony O'Brien Senior Memorial bell to be rung one too many times, because then we end up renaming it in your name.
Right. No, I'm looking forward to it. I think this is a great discussion. I commend everyone that got into this race. Mm. It takes a lot to step forward and put yourself under the microscope. And you know what? No one in this race is going to agree wholeheartedly on 100% of the issues.
Nor should you.
But what's great is that everyone in this race wants to do right by, has the intent to do right by our communities. And I think that's something that's truly commendable.
I'm telling you right now, if Mrs. Trishelli is listening right now, head out to Tarjay or wherever. I'm sure you can get an inexpensive bell and begin practicing, not only with your opening and closing statement, but also with answering a question, so you can do it efficiently without us having to ring the bell a half, you know.
Oh, no, I won't be getting
it. There's not going to be any fooling around.
No,
it'll get you primed for. It'll get you primed if you're successful.
I'm familiar with the bell, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great opportunity, and I hope that people come out and want to learn more about this race. I hope that they visit the website, which is Truschelli.com, spelled TRUSCHELLI.com. I know I've got practice.
You anticipated my next my final question here, and just again, folks, we will be holding a political forum. We get several political forums that are lined up for the next, I would say the next month and a half. We are going to have...
Seems like they're early this year, huh?
Yeah, but it's because the primary is on September 4th. So
that's true.
And normally, I mean, there's been times where usually it's in the middle of September or towards the end, depending on...
That's an important point, too. You mentioned September 4th, and this is something that's important that everyone is aware of. That is the day after Labor Day, so, you know... People should plan accordingly to make sure that they exercise their civic duty. And I know, you know, voter turnout is always something that we discuss, but I really hope that people look at it and say, you know, this is an important race, and they have the opportunity to get out and vote. And, you know, I hope people go to my Facebook page. I hope they go to the Joe Truschelli Facebook page, as well as our Instagram page, which is at Truschelli Committee, and they can do the same thing for Facebook. And we're also on Twitter, which is at Joe Truschelli.
There you go. I want to thank you not only for being here, but also thank you for your service to our country and serving. Now that you are an LT, congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to seeing you on the 16th, and we're going to look forward to you folks tuning in for the second hour of Monday Night Talk coming up in just a few moments. We'll step away when we come back. More Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Kevin, thank you.
And we just got an update from one of our WATD road warriors out there. Those of you who are traveling out in Marshfield right now, be careful on Webster Street. A 3-car accident at Black Mountain Drive on Webster Street. We're just hearing that from one of our callers, one of our listeners right now. So if you're in Marshfield, beware for that at Black Mountain Webster, a 3-car accident.
Hi, I'm Stephen Karidianis, conductor of the Plymouth Philharmonic, and you're listening to the official radio station of the July 4th Plymouth Phil broadcast.
WATD-FM Marshfield, WMEX Boston.
Having radio control airplane fly-in Saturday, August 4th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. featuring scale replicas of full-scale aircraft and range from less than 2 feet in wingspan to 1/3 scale model airplanes with wingspans exceeding 8 feet. Spectators are welcome to attend the event and will be able to vote for the best aircraft. For directions, see the SSRCC website, ssrcc.org.
Atlantic Coffee and Provision is the leading office break room and refreshment company in Massachusetts. From single cup coffee systems to our full lineup of over 1,000 items, Atlantic has it all. Visit AtlanticCoffee.com. Atlantic Coffee, we have a taste for service.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we are back. Second hour of Monday Night Talk. As I've teased, we get author Doreen Lang, as well as Skip Bedell, host of Spike TV's Catch a Contractor. That's coming up later on the hour. But right now, we have joining us Beth Lindstrom. She is a candidate for U.S. Senate. If you will, Ryan, could you play me cut one, please, again?
President's deeply immoral actions have been obvious. We need to rebuild our immigration system from top to bottom, starting by replacing ICE with something that reflects our morality.
All right, and so we welcome into the conversation by the phone. We have Beth Lindstrom. Beth, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Were you able to hear that sound cut?
It's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, she is out there saying that we need to abolish ICE. I mean, before ICE, there was INS. I mean, we've had this since 9/11. And she just, if she thinks that's the answer, then I think she just moved so far left that it doesn't represent the people of Massachusetts for sure.
Well, here's my curious question, and that is I kind of get the impression that this was supposed to be not a political event, but yet you had three Democrats. You had Congressman Joe Kennedy. You had U.S. Senator Ed Markey there making comments. And if we could you play cut two for me, Ryan? And then again, this is U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren.
This is about children held in cages. This is about babies scattered all across this country. This is about mamas who want their children back. This is ugly, this is wrong, and this is not the way to run our country.
So I want to get your take on those two sound cuts, especially that second one where the senator says that she actually went down to the border and actually saw these children in cages.
Well, she went to Nevada first to speak at their Democrat convention because they're a swing state in her quest for the presidential bid in 2020. But nonetheless, here once again, Elizabeth Warren is grandstanding and political grandstanding. But where is she in solving the problem? And that's what is so frustrating, because we do need to solve this problem. And soon after the president signed the executive order, I mean, she just keeps on going on this harangue about now reuniting. So there's always one thing that she has to politically grandstand to just keep on, appealing to her progressive left. But where did she reach across the aisle and try to create a solution? And I think that's what I would offer voters, certainly in November, running against Elizabeth Warren.
Is there any concern that this is an issue that we've been dealing with, not just under the Trump administration, but it's been under previous administrations where we've been trying to tackle the immigration issue? I think you're on the right path saying that. I think folks from both sides of the aisle have to come together and work out something where we are able to have some kind of comprehensive immigration reform and realize, do we want to have borders, do we not? And we need to come to some kind of a consensus. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. But the idea to solve illegal immigration is not to abolish ICE. And I believe that one of the jobs of our Congress people and our U.S. senators is to, make sure we are safe, and it's national security. So for her to say, let's just go back to the catch and release, which is where we were under Obama, is, I think, irresponsible, because, that didn't work. It didn't work under Obama, and it doesn't work now, and that's why we have a problem.
I find it interesting, though, and again, I do not subscribe to the D or the R. I'm more about solutions than something of being a party-driven solution. But I just find it interesting that the practice is that there is a separation between the parents and the children. And again, we don't know where this came from, whether it was under one particular administration, it was just an ideal. What's your thought as far as, wouldn't it be just better off just to turn away the family as a whole, or is it a matter of, not wanting the children to suffer?
Sure. So if we could secure our border, then we wouldn't have people migrating north. Now, again, this happened because, this policy was always in place. But what was happening is someone would come to the border, then they'd get detained and then processed, either catch and release, or they'd get returned to their country.
Yeah.
What was happening is adults figured they could take a child and then claim asylum. And rather than going to a legal port of entry where you can claim asylum and no family gets separated, the word spread, so they came up here, and that's when the president decided to do the zero tolerance policy. Now, I don't agree with separating families. I would say that we needed to have the family detention, but we need to solve the problem and not just, just turn a blind eye. So I'm a mother of three children, and I think that is a problem to separate families. And we need to have a system that works so that we can make sure that we're protecting our borders. I believe I heard report that between May and middle of June, 2,000 children were separated from their families, and that's tragic.
Mm.
But think about, that's 2,000 children coming into the country, and where are they going, and how are we taking care of them, or what's happening? Because a lot of bad stuff happens at the border, and some of these people are coming up with these children who weren't their actual children. So this is what stemmed the problem. But, of course, the Democrats logged onto it and want to just exploit it as a political grandstanding opportunity, and they see this opportunity to do this, and they're going to continue to do this. But we do need to just solve the problem. We need comprehensive immigration reform, and I think there are a lot of people of goodwill in Washington that want to come together and solve it, but Elizabeth Warren isn't interested in that. She's too busy to march in the downtown.
As I was saying to my previous guest, Joe Tricelli, that we got political forums lined up for different races starting on the 16th. We will have some local races. But coming up on, I believe it's going to be the 13th of August, we are going to have a forum, a political forum, with the candidates running in the Republicans running in the U.S. Senate race. How many forums are scheduled for you and your opponents? And is everybody on board with these forums?
Sure. We've had 5 requests to go in front of media and debate. And to my knowledge, Jeff Diehl has committed to a Boston Herald and a WGBH. But I'm not quite sure. There's 3 others, UMass Boston, WCVB, and WATD. So we need to push on him to commit. Voters need to see the differences between our personalities and our backgrounds and where we stand on issues. So I'd encourage everyone to support my request and urging Jeff Diehl to sign on to all 5. We've got 5. We need to get in front of voters.
And speaking of getting in front of voters, this week is a perfect time to get in front of voters. I'm sure that the Lindstrom campaign has a plethora of parades that you're going to be marching in, right?
Yes, we're going to be in Randolph, I think, tomorrow, and Plymouth, and Wakefield, and Rutland. We're going all over, and I think it's on our website, bethforsenate.com. So we've got a map of where we're going, so hopefully folks will come out and be able to give a wave and see us march.
Now, are you ready?
July 4th.
Are you ready for this? It sounds like you're going to be, it's going to be like a marathon for you, yeah?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, yep. We're ready. I mean, we marched in Braintree on Saturday, and it was hot, hot, hot. But we've got a great team of energetic young people, and so we're ready. We are ready.
Well, Beth, I want to thank you so much for joining us for a few moments. Anything you want to say in closing before we wrap up our segment?
Well, to anybody who is interested in marching with us, go to the website, bethforsenate.com, and sign up or find your regional field person, or just show up, and we'd be happy to invite anybody to walk along with us. So thank you so much for your time, and enjoyed talking with you tonight, Kevin.
You got it. Have yourself, stay hydrated.
Stay cool.
I was going to say stay warm. Stay hydrated and stay cool, and we'll look forward to seeing you here in studio on the 13th of August.
Sounds great, Kevin. Thanks so much. Take care.
You got it. Beth Lindstrom, who is a candidate for U.S. Senate. She's a Republican. There are 3 Republicans that are in the race. And again, as I said, we've got a number of political forums that we're going to be holding. Monday Night Talk. Well, the Monday Night Slot will, of course, be where you'll hear most of those political forums, moderated by WATD's Managing News Editor Christine James. And, of course, questions asked by Charles Matheson, WATD news reporter, and myself. And it'll be informative. This is how you get up to speed on where these candidates stand on the issues. It's definitely something I look forward to. And we will also look to see if we can kind of implement a little video on a couple of these different political forums as well. Were you going to say something, Ryan?
No, I was just curious who's doing the video. Is this Marshfield Cable coming in?
This cat right here.
This
guy right here. I'm going to be wearing 3 hats. Well, it's possible that there'll be other access centers that will be
very cool.
That will be involved. I'm not sure who would do the 12th Plymouth. That might be PAC TV.
Yeah, oh, of
very,
course.
Very
of course.
Possible. Yeah. Marshfield probably would come in for the fourth Plymouth.
Yep.
Right, and share mm-hmm. it with Scituate TV.
Yeah.
And I think PAC TV would also do the Plymouth Barnstable State Senate one. But as far as the U.S. Senate one, I think we were working on having a couple of congressional. I'm getting the nod from Christine, of course.
Hello, good evening.
And we're also putting in, we're hoping to do Attorney General. I know that, again, we've, but I will be here basically taking care of the both sides. I'll be on microphone and I'll Very also cool. be. I will be producing the video.
Very cool. Look at you wearing lots of hats over there.
I do, and I don't want to brag, but I wear them well.
Oh, absolutely. No. I was not going against you at all.
No.
Like I said, you're very well produced show.
Well, Ryan himself is in another aspect, dabbles in doing video.
Oh yeah.
For his other job.
Yes.
So that's why he's kind of. It's, I would think that's why he's asking, because he also has an interest in doing more and more video work.
My ears perk up when I hear video. That's all.
Oh yeah, this is absolute love. Well, when you could, I mean, we're so used to just having the audio. When you could add a visual to it,
oh, it's so much it's more exciting.
Wow.
Yeah. So something else to do.
It is something else to do. Well, and again, yeah, continue the good work, Ryan, as far as what you're doing, not only here, but as far as I know you work for the hospital, or actually another organization. I don't know who you work for, but I know you do video work, so I see you.
No, I do. I do work for BID Plymouth. Okay.
All right. I wasn't sure if that was kind of...
No, you're right on.
I stumbled here for a second.
No.
All right, well, we're going to step aside, and up next, Doreen Lang will be our guest. And we're going to talk a little bit about employee retention, how important it is. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Monday Night Talk right here, 95.9 WATD.
McWiggins Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McWiggins' 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McWiggins Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Mohammed, you are the most celebrated champion in pugilistic history. Kusel, I float like a butterfly, I sting like a bee. I am the greatest. Yet doubters claim that Liston is too big, too strong, too mean to defeat. No place to hide. Kusel, you needs a whooping. I predict a total eclipse of the sun. And Kusel, take this for doubting me. He's down. He's out. I knew it, Kusel. You got a glass jaw.
Glass problems? I'm Peter of Tiny and Sons Glass. We come to your work, your home, or your prize ring to replace your auto glass. Insurance pays. 1-888-64-TINYS. Just call.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Well, thank you for keeping your radio dial set here to 95.9 WATD. And this show, you know, as I've said repeatedly, it's not just a show that just focuses on one aspect, whether it's political. You know, we do have a lot of candidates who are running for office, or somebody who's an elected official that comes on the program. We have folks who want to sit down and talk about some of the things that are going on in pop culture. And we like to have authors on from time to time. And today, this particular segment that you're tuned into, we have a very special author who's joining us. She's not just an author. She's also a consultant and a speaker. We're speaking with Doreen Lang, who is joining us. Doreen, welcome to Monday Night Talk, officially.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
I will say is that erroneously, she actually came to do a previous show, and my faculties weren't in order, so I definitely appreciate the second opportunity. She had reached out to me actually a while ago. I was like, hey, I'd like to be on your program, and I definitely appreciate that. And if you want to be a part of the program, you have a book or you have an interesting topic, mondaynighttalk@gmail.com. Now, Doreen has actually released two books, Hang On to Your Stars and how to drive employee retention in the first 90 days. And this is volume one. I guess the first thing we want to kind of do is we've kind of welcomed you to the show. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself, because there's a lot to know about you.
Thank you very much. Well, I hope they find it interesting. Grew up in Watertown, went to UMass Boston, got my degree in education. Then I went on to work full-time running communities. Ended up running senior living communities, but in the meantime got my master's, excuse me, and I got into kind of learning about what makes a community successful. And as an operator, which I'm still an operator now, I work at Oak Point up in Middleboro full-time, running an operation there. It's a huge community, 1,000 acres, 980 homes. I was looking at what's going on in the industry, and it's really interesting. Every day until 2030, 10,000 people are turning 65 years old. So what's happening is with these senior living communities, the millennials are coming in and the boomers are getting older and older, and we all think we don't need care, but it turns out about 70% of people will need some form of care. So I'm looking at the statistics, talking to colleagues, and they're losing employees like crazy, and I'm thinking, geez, we need to hold on to these people. And that's when I started really honing in on what's going on.
Where does the passion come from when you talk about employee engagement? I mean, where is that? I mean, because folks, there are certain little things that us as human beings that attract us to, you know, to certain things. What is it about employee engagement that you really like and that you thrive at?
You know, it makes the business turn so successfully. It's fabulous to have an employee come to you and say, in tears, and say, I have to move, you know, my husband and I are splitting, but I would work for you anywhere. If you ever leave, I will come work for you. And they take such accountability for the work they do. They're willing to spend extra time with you at the end of the day. It just kind of knocks you out, and you save a fortune. I mean, not millions or billions, but trillions of dollars a year. We save a fortune in holding on to people that are good in your work environment. So it's across the board. It's financial. It's emotional for people. It's extremely important. And I don't know if we put, well, I know we don't put enough emphasis on it, and that's why I wrote the book.
Okay. As somebody who works with businesses, what are some of the areas that you try to provide consultation in?
It's the first 90 days, and I know that might sound simple, but people don't put any emphasis on onboarding. And it turns out if you onboard successfully, you have about an 83% chance of keeping somebody beyond 3 years. Because across the board, it's about 30% of people quit within the first 90 days across all industries. Mm-hmm. But in the senior living industry, about 45 to 55% of people quit in the first 90 days. And you think about running ads, meeting people, interviewing, looking at all those resumes, it's exhausting.
A heck of a process.
It's a huge process. And then they start, and they'll often decide within that first day if they like it there or not. That first day, they'll decide.
Really?
Yeah.
So first impressions mean a lot.
It's everything. Because they have a lot of choices now. Unemployment rate is low. They've got a lot of choices.
You also excel as being a professional speaker. How does that fit in with your expertise as a business consultant?
You know, I think that I really enjoy it because when I do start to talk about these issues, it creates this awareness and it creates a sensitivity. So people go back and they think, geez, we don't put enough time into this. We are having these problems. That was helpful. And you know, it's selfish. I enjoy turning the lights on for people and having them get excited about it and saying, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. We need to look at this a little bit more closely. So that I kind of feel like I've done my job.
If you would be so kind, who are some of the organizations or the people that you have consulted for? Because I think it's like a lengthy list.
Yeah, so I worked with Mayor Menino years ago. He called me. I was doing this part-time while I was working full-time. And he called me and he asked me if I would come in. What was happening was Dana-Farber, Beth Israel, all those major hospitals, this was about 20 years ago, they were bringing in people from all different countries. And so there was this clash of diversity. And what was happening was people weren't staying because they weren't communicating well within each other. So I designed something called camaraderie campfires, and that's what I call them, camaraderie campfires. What I do is I bring everyone together, and we just kind of do some talking and discussing about life issues. Next thing you know, they find that they've got commonalities amongst themselves, mm-hmm. and that starts creating that bond, and it's the bond in relationships that keeps people from wanting to leave your organization. It's those relationships that are the glue.
It's interesting you talk about Mayor Menino. I had an opportunity once to interact with him, and I'll never forget it, because you think of a guy like a Menino, who is, he's constantly in the news. He's a high-profile type of a person. At the time, I was doing a story in regards to the city of Brockton, and this is all about heavyweight champion Rocky Marciano, who they were talking about putting a statue in the city of Boston, and the city of Brockton go, wait, we are the hometown of this legend. And so I was following up on a story, and I got word that through his the Boston mayor's office that Mayor Menino was going to be at a function. He was going to be walking in a door, and my opportunity was to, kind of get him as he's walking into the event. But of course, my interview would stop as soon as he went through the doors. Well, somehow he evaded me, and I was able to find him. And I'm somebody who is, when it comes to getting the job and getting the story, I'm polite. I keep things in perspective. I'm respectful. But I'm there to do a job, and I get the job done. And so I actually found the mayor. He was off in the corner talking with a bunch of people, had a drink in his hand. As soon as the conversation broke, I didn't interrupt him, but as soon as I saw him kind of engage me with a look, I'm like, "Mayor, my name's Kevin Tocci. I'm looking to get a couple of words." And he goes, "Sure, come on, we'll go over here." I'm like, "Oh, wow." I mean,
That was easy.
That was easy. Yeah. And he was, and more or less he was willing to, from my first question until I had everything I needed, and even asked me, he goes, "Do you have everything you need?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Wow.
And I'm like, that was phenomenal. This is a guy who could, he doesn't have to care about me.
No.
He could just give me just enough and then send me off, and he didn't. So when you mentioned Mayor Menino, yeah. I please forgive me, but I had a little bit of a soft spot, because he was that kind of a guy that you can work with and talk to. So it's kind of,
I'm glad you told that story, because people kind of see him as someone, maybe unapproachable, whatever.
No.
But he has a huge heart. He had a huge heart. Yep. He genuinely cared. He enjoyed doing something that no one else could do, because he had that ability. Mm. He was a pretty terrific man. Yeah,
indeed.
He really was.
And again, we're speaking with Doreen Lang, speaker, consultant, and author of two books, Hang On To Your Stars and How to Drive Employee Retention. And that kind of, that's my segue right there, kind of mentioning your books is, when did you decide to sit down and write not one, but two books? Because you actually released two books within a relatively short time. You did one last November, right, and then you did one in March of this year. Talk to me about that process.
Okay, so the first book I wrote was because being in the industry, the senior living industry, running communities, this is where I saw the problem. So I really wanted to put something in place I could hand off, I could use as a guide for people. So I wrote this book that focused on senior living communities, and that's the first book. When I was finished with that, I was getting calls from different companies saying to me, Doreen, this is great. Will it apply to my business? I run a storage company. And I said, the principles are the exact same. The onboarding process is the same. But they were a little bit shy to read a book about senior living. So what I did was I pulled all the basics out of the first book, elaborated and been a little bit more general on some areas that would be helpful. In addition to which, when you write a book, what's really, really fabulous about it is you learn. It's almost like getting a mini PhD program, because you're learning. You have to be able to speak to it very, very well. And I interviewed about 100 millennials. 50 actually responded. So I got some great intel. So after I wrote the first book, a lot of those other people that know I wrote a book said, I'd really like to be in that. So I was able to sit with them and turn that second book into more general. So it really, now I can speak to really any industry that calls at this point, I know I can help them with.
You might have already answered my next question, but I'll ask it anyways. I've had the privilege of being able to speak with various types of authors. If you would, kind of tell me what the writing process was like for you, because I'm sure it differs from the traditional author who might sit down and tell a story.
Probably. I don't know that, although I do have a novel under my, in my desk that's dusty. But it's really interesting when you get excited about something, it pours, it absolutely pours out of you. I remember last summer, it was gorgeous out. It was the middle of August. And, my husband says, you want to head out? I said, no, just another hour. And I had been at the desk from, I woke up and I was sitting there for just all day long. And I'm looking outside and the birds are tweeting, it's beautiful out. I couldn't stop. I don't remember the summer at all. All I remember is writing. And I wonder if that's what people do. You just get so into it
engrossed.
And so engrossed that it just really is something you can't put down.
And as I, the last question I asked you, talking about people who specialize in storytelling, yours is more or less sharing your wisdom in regards to being able to retain employees. How difficult was it to be able to take what was in your head that you've learned in this area, kind of lay it out, and then have to organize it?
Yeah, that's the challenge, is to do it in such a way where it sounds interesting and you can go with that. But what I have learned is that there's stories all through it. They're real stories. Of course, I changed the names, but they're real stories.
Just to protect the innocent folks.
Exactly.
Just to protect them.
Have to. But there's stories in it. And the stories, actually, when I do a talk, I'll read a story and people are like, that happened to me. So that you put the stories throughout the book under the different topics, and it kind of comes together very, very well.
Okay. So, I was going to ask you in regards to the differences of the two books. Both of them are basically, though, practical guides, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And you would recommend, naturally, that folks should go out and get, especially if you own a business, or you're somebody who is in management, you're in the administration
right,
of a business,
right.
Maybe go out and get both of these books. That would be a good hands-on guide to have?
Absolutely. And just a quick thing I want to mention
Please
is that
do.
The first part of it kind of talks about, you know, what is employee engagement, which is, you know, kind of introduces it. The second is, what are the traits somebody needs to have to run an organization that creates that kind of environment? But the last part is the actual step-by-step. And what I do is I tell them, before a person is even hired, so you hire them, they're going to start in 2 weeks. And you're thinking, this is great. They seem like a great employee. We can't wait for instance, Barbara to start.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop there. You get a card, handwritten card, you get your team to sign it, say, can't wait for you to start. The parking's gonna be in the left-hand side of the building. I'm gonna meet you at 8 o'clock at the door. Can't wait to meet you. And I've included a $40 gift card. Treat yourself. We can't wait for you to treat us with your presence.
Where do you draw the line where from being, you know, the cold fish type of an organization where it's like, you start at 8, your desk is over there, to where it's, you don't want to go beyond the line where it's kind of cultish, like, can't wait to hang out with you all day and tonight and tomorrow and the next day. Where's the line that you draw where you're welcoming, maybe a little bit beyond welcoming, but yet there's the freedom to kind of let the person go do what they do?
Well, you know, I really believe this. I think that the generations are creating this for us. You know, the boomers are very smart, but they also know that they had a tough upbringing. The millennials are seeing how hard the boomers work, and they want things differently now. So they're picky and they're choosy and they're smart. So in order for us to...
Sometimes too smart.
Yeah, we really have to get our act together to take them in and kind of, hate to say it, but love them up so they'll stay with us. And we really do. We have to look at things differently, and that's what the book is about, is we have to do things differently because times are changing. We can't stop that.
Is when you talk about, you know, the first 90 days, what are some of the other main mistakes that businesses make when it comes to retaining? Is there something beyond the 90 days that businesses do, whether it's their business practices? Again, is it something that has to be some kind of an assessment to say, why do we keep losing employees?
Yeah, you're asking the perfect question. It's the first day, first week. What did you do with these people? I've consulted with companies that said to me, they came in, we welcomed them, we put them in front of the videos, we met them, we showed them where the cafeteria was, they watched the rest of the videos they had to watch, and they didn't come back the next day. And I wanted to get up and slap them and say, are you kidding me? You kidding me? Let me ask you, what was the room like? Well, it was the air conditioning's a little cool in there. I said, great, so you froze them. They were sitting there by themselves watching a video. You got to be, that's the way you're welcoming a guest? And they just kind of look at me. I said, get serious. You can't do that anymore. If you have to do certain videos, what you do, safety and whatever, break that up spend time with them in between. And by all means, buy them or treat them to lunch. Tell them, do not bring lunch. It's on us the first day. You have to do these things. They're simple. They're inexpensive. And it's like the glue.
Can't you write it off? That's how if you're doing your accounting and you're making money, I mean, any expenses that you can...
Well, that's what's so interesting. People are planning for failure. They're planning for turnover. Well, we plan to have 60% turnover. We're planning. Why don't, instead of them planning for failure, why don't they budget for success? Let's budget for lunches for the new people. Let's budget for the $40 gift card. Budget for success, and that's what they're not doing. They're planning for failure.
If you could remind our listeners who are tuned in to Monday Night Talk, heard every Monday, 6:15 to 8 p.m., how much is it costing organizations annually when it comes to retention? Because I was surprised at hearing your quote as to the amount of money.
I can't give you a dollar figure because every industry is going to invest differently.
But you can give me a phrase.
I can tell you that it is trillions.
Okay.
It's trillions of dollars in a year. Trillions.
That's a lot of money.
It's ridiculous. They're just not putting the attention on this, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to turn the light on and saying, onboarding is the start to success. Take it seriously. Invest in it. And one of the most important things in my book, and how you'll do this is you need a designated driver. And you're saying, what do you mean? To drive them around if they're drinking? No. You need a designated driver of retention. When somebody starts, and think about it, there's somebody in your organization right now, there's somebody that is bubbly, warm, personable, knows the building, knows the people. Mm. That person should be meeting that first person at the door. And they should be shepherding them, taking them to the training, dropping them off, meeting them for lunch. They're buddy. They've got an instant friend right as they start. They don't do that. They see this person, they go to that person, they don't even know who they are. There's no names on people's chests, so they can't figure out who the heck anybody is. When you think about it, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It almost just sounds as though today's day and age, again, you look at how the structure, the corporate structure is, it sounds as though that a position should be created, a retention coordinator.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Oops.
So, because that's the first thing that popped into my head is that somebody who specializes.
That's it.
And not just for, you know, there's not a break off at, you know, day 91, you never see Jessica
exactly.
again or Bob from Account Temps. You don't see them. You
right.
see them always where they're coming in, how you do it. It's almost as though like it's like that, you know, another coach on a team.
Exactly. And I call them engagement coordinator. And at the 90 days, I say, when that engagement coordinator has successfully retained this person, things are going well, they're learning, they're adding value, they're a great new employee, things are feeling super. Mm. You take that engagement coordinator and say, thank you, and you give them $90 gift certificate because they just succeeded 90 days with this new person. And listeners might be saying, oh, there you go again, spending money. We haven't talked about a lot. We've talked about lunch. We talked about a $40 welcome and a $90 congratulate. That's not a lot of money to ensure a new employee's success.
Well, let me ask you this, though. As much as you're trying to keep good employees, right? Mm. There are bad employees out there, too. I mean, so where do you cut the bait? I mean, where do you realize that, all right, Johnny may not be up to snuff? I mean, when do you kind of reel in the line?
Know. You know, that's a tough one. I'm an operator, and when people aren't doing well, you really have to treat them really like almost like a family member. You got to talk to them, tell them what isn't working.
Put your arm right around them.
Talk to them again, and then you have to say, I don't think it's working. And I'll tell you something. People don't, I don't know whether they don't have the courage, the time, the energy, they just don't do it. And so bad employees stay, and they're the poison. They're the Debbie Downers, and you do not want your new employees or to be near these people.
It's not, it hasn't necessarily been part of the beginning part of our conversation, but you're an award-winning teacher. How does that skill set help you to be able to connect with the reader in your books?
You know, I really am talking to them like I'm sitting with them on a couch. And I think that's the difference. I'm not so brilliant where I'm the above all and be all, but I've been doing this for over 25 years. And when I'm in my classroom, I teach at Quincy College and in different colleges, that's what works. You know, a classroom is a learning environment, and that's what engages people. So that's what I like to do where I work now as an operator in a community, is I like to engage the people and say, what else do you want to learn? And I'll tell you, that gets them more excited sometimes than much else, because people want you to feel as though they're smart and respected. So giving them more to do and engaging them is, I think, what I do well and what I try to teach.
Have you ever thought of beyond being a consultant, maybe starting up your own business and maybe finding a way to teach people to be a retention coordinator? You ever thought of that? Or maybe having, like I said, Bob from Account Tips, I'm kind of joking around, but having your own, it's almost like labor ready. If you need somebody to fill a position because somebody's out sick.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do, and that's why I called you, because I really wanted to get on the air. I want to get out there because I want people to know that I would love to be able to get into their company and let us pick an engagement coordinator, a designated driver, and show them how to do it. And I can do that, and it won't take forever, but the training wheels
will come off eventually.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know it works. I know this works, and that's what's exciting about it.
What's it like for you when you are working with a company and you're working with some of the people to have them kind of be the retention coordinator when the light comes on? What's that like for you? I mean, again, being a teacher, it's got to be a rewarding moment. You could tell when the light comes on, when they get it.
I just can't even tell you how fabulous it is. And it's fabulous for the owner and the operator to see that engagement take place, because think about it. One of the most important things an operator or somebody can do is it's called rounding. You know how doctors make the rounds and they check in on their patients?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what's really key, is to making the rounds and checking in. But when you do that, it's really fabulous. When you walk around, you make the rounds in the company, you say hi to this one, hello to the janitor, you check in with them, you're learning what the real issues are, because people start to talk to you because they trust you. And that's when you get to learn what's working, what isn't, and you can keep improving and improving. And that's what I'm trying to get to these businesses to look at.
Okay, we're speaking with Doreen Lang. We've learned a lot about Doreen. Just want to let you know, she does have a website. She'll probably tell you this in a couple of moments, but I'll tell you. HangOnToYourStars.com. You can learn all about her. She has a blog. You can learn about her books. If you are a business out there, you can learn how to be able to contact her in regards to maybe her services. Just keep that in mind. Is there a question I haven't asked you during our conversation here today, but it feels kind of important that you really get across to our listeners?
No matter how well your business is doing, it will absolutely do better if you've got happy, engaged employees, and you want to hang on to those stars. So putting time and attention to this is money in the bank.
Yeah, if being, you know, having productive employees is where you're at, and you want to make sure that you're getting the most out of the salaries and the OPEB and everything that you have to kind of put out there to have a good employee, then you definitely want to make sure that you check out some of what Doreen has crafted and put together. Hang on to your stars and how to drive employee retention the first 90 days, volume one. So I kind of get that might be a couple more volumes or another volume in the works somewhere down the road.
There is, yeah.
Okay. Well, we won't tease that because we're kind of... But you'll be back, of course.
I'd love to. And lastly, when they go on my website, I know you're looking at these bracelets, but the senior living industry is predominantly women, and they're always looking for, like, gift ideas. But I had a jewelry designer design these bracelets, and they have these tiny little stars, hang on to your stars, on them. And they're just a nice little gift idea for that special somebody in your life or in your organization, just to say, thank you.
And looking at that one that you pulled off, it looks just like the background of your website.
Yeah.
Identical. I'm very observant sometimes.
Very observant.
If folks want to get these books...
They're on Amazon or my website. So hangontoyourstars.com. They're both there. And I encourage you to take a look.
Social media, are you also engaged on social media too?
I am. So they can jump on my website and kind of catch up on all that.
Oh, my God. Well, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining me here this evening and chatting about your books, talking about your passion when it comes to employee engagement. Not that I am paid by Doreen to say this, but when I hear something that's a good idea, especially in today's day and age where I'm always hearing, oh, economy, oh, we need to create jobs. I think with some things, if you have a business, the idea is instead of creating jobs, creating lasting employment and keeping those employees that you have. And as Doreen has told us here today, it starts with day one. And you know what? It's the first week. It's a telltale sign. Stick them in a nice cold room with a bunch of videos. Chances are, I think I would say a great chance, 40 to 50% of those individuals, especially if they're millennial, walk right out the door. So keep that in mind. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, we are going to step aside. And when we come back, I promise you, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
I'm Tiny of Tiny and Sons Glass. Broken windshield? Insurance covers it. Tiny works with all insurance companies.
Hey, Dad, we work with Allstate?
Yes, we do.
How about Amica?
Yes.
How about Arbella?
Very good.
And Commerce?
Very nice.
Even Geico?
Geico, yes.
Hanover?
Hanover Insurance? Good people.
Liberty Mutual is supposed to be pretty good.
Liberty Mutual? Yes, sir.
MetLife?
MetLife, yes.
Pilgrim?
Pilgrim. I know them.
Hey, Plymouth Rock. How about Plymouth Rock?
Plymouth Rock. Excellent.
All right. Progressive, I heard. And Safety?
Safety. Safety is my friend.
And those guys at Tower Group. I thought they were tough, but they've been pretty good lately.
They should buy me lunch.
That's right. And how about USAA, the troops?
USAA is perfect.
We support the troops. We work with them all. My dad did a great job. 1-888-64-TINYS. Just call.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
The final segment of the program is upon us, and you're definitely going to enjoy this particular segment, especially if you're somebody who is looking for that next do-it-yourself home project. Summer is definitely a great time to think about creating curb appeal at home. Some projects you do can give a home a fresh new look, and it's also a great investment that increases its value. Joining us today with three ways to increase curb appeal like a pro is the one and only Skip Bedell, who is a licensed professional contractor and host of Spike TV's Catch a Contractor. We welcome Skip Bedell. Skip, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. And, yeah, happy summer. Here we are, right? Like, this is the time to get the weekend projects done. And I'm really excited to be telling you about some of this great stuff. So, you know, as a professional builder, people ask me all the time, what can we do to our home to really up the value and up the curb appeal? And one of the main things that I suggest to people is to change the fencing. Believe it or not, you might not think the fencing, but if you think of a beautiful picture or artwork, right, it's the frame that goes around the picture that many times makes it. So picture the fence around your house is the frame of your house. And today we're talking about CertainTeed vinyl fencing. And they have an incredible product. They have the BuffTech brand of fences that basically has a grain in it with a CertiGrain and multiple colors, and the bottom line is you get the color and the texture and the feel of real wood fencing, but you don't have any of the maintenance, none of the work that goes into it, right? None of the splintering and cracking and peeling. You put this fencing up, and it stays like that for years to come. So really adding value and beauty to your house. And the best part about it is it really has a great look to it. You know, there's so many different colors and styles you can choose from, and three different height options. So it's just an awesome way to up the look.
So you talk about fencing. What's another great way to update your home and create that curb appeal?
Well, you know, speaking of CertainTeed, they also make an amazing siding. So they have a polymer siding, and if we think of like vinyl or polymer siding, this is something that allows you also to have that look of real wood natural siding, like cedar shake and cedar plank siding, but without any of that maintenance. So for instance, the Monogram line of their siding offers 40 different colors to choose from for siding on your home, and it's something that you can do to really change the look. Check this out. You can go onto their website at CertainTeed.com. You can download a picture of your own front house, right, the front picture of your house, mm-hmm. put it on the website, and you can look at those 40 different colors on your house. So it makes it really easy to choose what you want. And when we look at the cedar impressions, this is also a siding, but it looks like cedar shake, that natural look of beautiful shake shingle siding, but without any of the work. So you get the color and the beauty, but no staining, no maintenance, no upkeep. And another big trend this year, guys, right now a lot of people are wanting to put stone facing on the front of their house, right, the lower third of the house, or stone the foyer area, but stonework can be very expensive to have a mason come and do all that work. So CertainTeed makes a stone facade product. This stuff is awesome. I love it. It gives you a look of natural stone, but it just gets screwed onto the house. They're like panels that interlock, and you simply screw it onto the house. There's no mortar, there's no grouting, there's no thin set, there's no mason needed. It's something you guys can do in a weekend and get that natural beauty and value look to your home.
See, you almost set up my next question. Knowing your background, the time that you spent in construction and also being in front of the cameras confronting contractors who failed to deliver on the project, what advice can you give the listeners if they are thinking about hiring a general contractor?
Always make sure you deal with licensed professionals, number one. I mean, you know, anyone who's gone through the screening and the licensing process, mm-hmm. and they have a long list of referrals, that's the main thing. Licensing, professional insurance, of course, and of course the referrals. If they don't have a long list of happy customers, chances are they're going to have a long list of unhappy customers.
Right.
And that's what we saw on our show, you know. And listen, a real professional contractor is going to tell you how to get curb appeal on your house, and that's really what we're talking about today. And one other thing I wanted to mention to you, the front door, right? Guys, listen, the front door is the gateway to the castle. It's the first thing we see when we walk into your home. So Olympic stains allow you to change the look of your front door easily with one coat process, and they basically have a color and a seal all in their stain built into one. So you could take the look of your old rundown door and really beautify it, give it maximum protection against the weather and the UV, and basically the Olympic stain is choice of the pros. It really has a great look to it, and it's easy to apply.
What's another project related to curb appeal that maybe some viewers may not think of, but it can really enhance the home?
Well, the landscaping around your house, of course, makes a big difference.
Yep.
So that whole appearance is all going to tie together between the siding, the fencing, the landscaping all helps to frame the house. Windows and doors, we're talking about a couple of the things that you can kind of do in a weekend or a couple of different weekends aside that people can do themselves. Obviously, windows and roofing is a project that's really kind of set for the pros. But some of the things we're talking about, these are all like DIY projects that you could do. You could change the siding. You could put the stone facade on. You could stain your front door. And, you know, you can get the results of a professional. And what I tell people all the time, if you want to get the work that looks like a pro did it, you want to make sure you have the tools that a pro uses. As a professional contractor, we make a big investment in our tools. So not everybody's going to go out and spend a lot of money on getting tools they might only use once, right?
Mm.
For instance, I'm looking here at a gas-powered post-hole digger, an auger to make the holes for your fencing we just talked about, power washer, paint sprayer, cement mixer. These are all things that maybe you're going to use once or twice, and they're expensive. But the Home Depot's Tool Rental Center
yep.
is an unbelievable place. I love this place. Anything that you need, any tool that you need to get the job done like a pro, they have it. And the beauty of it is you can rent it for 4 hours all the way up to a month. And then when you're done with it, you just bring it back. You don't have to worry about maintaining it or the expense of it. You just bring it back, and then you know you got the job done like a pro, but you don't have to own that tool.
What are some of the resources anybody who is looking to improve their curb appeal and maybe want to take on these projects themselves?
Well, listen, if you guys want to get some great tips and you want to see some of the stuff that we're doing, you can check out skipbedell.com. I got a great website. It shows a lot of different videos from Catch a Contractor, many of the different projects and tips that we talk about, and some of the new things that we're working on, new TV projects coming up. So that's a great resource and information, and people always love going on there and getting some extra tips and ideas and stuff to do.
And is it inexpensive to be able to create curb appeal, or is it a matter of just budgeting if you're going to really enhance the front of your home?
Well, I think like in any other home improvement project, you have to figure out the budget that you're comfortable with,
right,
and pick and choose what's going to work for you. But all the things we talked about here, the beauty of these things that I mentioned to you is that they are permanent things that add tremendous value to your home. So you're going to get a great return on your investment. So whatever that budget is you set aside, this is going to be money that's well spent. It's not like you're spending money on stuff that every year you have to redo. And even like we talk about some of the landscaping, many of which you might have to replant it every year, right? So these things are all things that once you do it, they're no maintenance, you don't do it again, and when it comes time to sell the home, they're permanent fixtures on the house, and they increase the value of your home, so it's a great return on investment.
Is it, how about as far as consulting? Is there anybody that they should, an individual should consult when it comes to taking on a project like this, or is it a matter of just maybe going to your website to find out more?
My website is a great resource. You know, I always recommend people can go on to that. They can go on to House and go on to Pinterest to get ideas. But, you know, if you're going to do some of these projects yourself, you want to look at other things that people have done and really kind of get that creative juice flowing. And then, of course, the next step is to figure out your budget, what you can afford, and do you have the time to do it? And if not, then you want to look into getting a professional contractor to do it for you. And that's where it comes into some of the things we mentioned before, getting the right person for the job. Just make sure you get a licensed, insured professional that comes with lots of referrals and a long track record of happy customers.
Again, we are speaking with the great Skip Bedell, who is he's a contractor. He knows about this stuff. If you've ever watched the Spike TV's Catch a Contractor, he's the guy to check out. And anything I haven't asked you, Skip, but you feel is important to telling our listeners?
I think that, you know, when it comes to doing home improvement projects, don't take on more than you can handle. A lot of people get in over their head, and they take on projects that are maybe out of their budget or out of their time frame. And listen, remodeling projects should be stressful, even when they go right, right? So don't bite off more than you can chew. And if it's a project that you don't think you have the time to actually do, because no one wants to leave that thing undone, right?
Yeah.
We probably all, I guess you guys probably do too, right? How many of us have things we started out doing, and then it's like that one piece of molding you didn't put on,
yep,
or, you know, one side of the house you didn't paint? You don't want to do that. So make sure you have the money put together to do the project, you have the time, and of course, if you don't have the time to do it yourself, get the right person in there for the job.
Last question I'll ask you, what's it like working with an Adam Carolla? You know, I know he's a funny guy, but he is phenomenal on the show.
He's awesome. I love Adam. We've become close friends over the years, and he is as talented with construction as he is with comedy. And he's just been just a great guy to work with. We've rescued over 30 families on Catch a Contractor,
yep,
and he's just a great guy. Love him.
Well, listen, we want to thank you very much for being a part of our radio program, and we thank you for supplying these tips for folks who are looking for projects to do during the summer.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it, my friend. There he is, folks. Skip Bedell, host of Spike TV's Catch a Contractor. He's also a regular TV contributor. And we cannot end the program without giving you like a little bit of a nugget, a morsel of that particular show. If you haven't seen it before on Spike TV, here's a clip from one of the scenes where they actually are talking to one of the contractors. The contractor's name is Dan, where he supposedly put in a gas pipe. Oh, he said he did a patch. Don't let me explain. Here's, again, this is a little nugget of Spike TV's Catch a Contractor with Skip and, of course, his co-host, Adam Carolla, speaking with Dan about some of the work that he supposedly did in this family's kitchen.
What should be in this wall?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's not my job.
Oh, is that your job?
Not my job.
You're the contractor.
What is that for?
You're the guy that took their money. How's it not your job?
Oh, fire.
So that's the old gas pipe, right?
I don't know, because I not opened that one, so how do I know?
But you put that one there, right?
But I just extension.
You didn't do gas pipe over here?
No, my guy, but like...
Your guy is you. You're so responsible. You had someone do it here,
I
right?
know.
You said all you did was do a little patchwork. Now, I just went about 6-7 feet down the row here, and I'm running into brand new, newfangled nylon mesh tape and new drywall.
I think you're my guy.
Oh, wait, it's changing the story a little bit.
Your guy?
Your guy.
No, I'm not a liar.
Who are you lying, mother?
No.
Who do you think we believe? Who do you think we're going to believe now? You just lied to us.
I didn't know like that he put a whole piece. Oh, some people, you know, like a lot of homeless. You know that, right? Because sometimes they have no money. So how? Why you spend money?
These people have money. They gave it to you.
But
now they don't have money because of you.
No, I could do for the kitchen. It's not a reward.
Believe are you serious? Dude, are you serious going to talk this nonsense?
I could do a favor.
Please favor? Do not do me and my family any favors. I beg you. I'm begging you for no favors.
Pardon me if I, as I chuckle, that little snippet you heard from Spike TV's Catch a Contractor, of course, featuring Skip and Adam Carolla as they were confronting. That's what they do is they are called in by a family or by an individual who hired somebody who they thought was a reputable contractor to do work, comes to find out that maybe they didn't have a license. You know, there's usually something that's wrong why they're brought in. Maybe the individual took the money and didn't complete the project, or they did the work and the work just wasn't up to snuff. So as you heard Skip, I actually asked him that question. You know, what do you do? There are plenty of great, reputable general contractors out there. Just make sure you protect yourself. Make sure you get somebody who is licensed through your state, whether it's Massachusetts or anywhere else you may be listening to this particular program, as we are on the World Wide Web, 959WATD.com. That's all the program that we have here. Again, we want to thank all of our guests, including Skip, who we just said goodbye to a couple of moments ago. Be sure to check out, again, the TV show, Spike TV's Catch a Contractor, and remember some of these tips that he shared with us if you're going to increase or create curb appeal for your home. Enjoy your 4th of July, may it be happy and safe. And until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a good evening.